Roll call for Friday, January 13th. Agar.
Here.
Anderson.
Here.
Anselmi Doughton.
Here.
Baldwin.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Boner.
Here.
Bouchard.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Excused.
Dockstetter.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Ellis.
Here.
Emmerich. Hastert, Hicks,
excused,
Kinski,
excused,
Landon,
here,
Meyer,
here,
Moniz,
here,
Nethercott,
here,
Pappas,
here,
Perkins,
here,
Peterson,
here,
Rothfuss,
here,
Scott,
here,
Bumflatern, Wasserberger.
Here.
President Bebout.
Here.
27 present,
Hicks,
3.
Here.
Good morning, Senators.
Hicks, present. Kinski.
Present.
Here. 29 present, 1 excused.
Prayer by Reverend Crockleton.
Stand before you, O God, conscious of our limitations, but aware that we gather in your name. Come to us, remain with us, and enlighten our hearts. Give us life and strength to know your will and to make it our own and to live it in our lives. Guide us by your wisdom, support us by your power, for you are God, the source of all good things. Desire justice for all. Enable us, therefore, to uphold the rights of others. Not allow us to be misled by ignorance or prejudice, or corrupted by fear or favor. Unite us to yourself in the bond of love, and keep us faithful to all that is true. As we gather in your name, may we temper justice with love, so that our decisions may be pleasing to you. And earn the reward promised to the good and faithful servant. We ask this of you who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen.
Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We will have no doctor today. The nurse of the day is Bryce Bishop. We don't know where our nurse is either, so Dr. Emmerich.
The vet.
Senator Hicks, do you wish to be recognized?
Can I object to the appointment of Dr. Emmerich, given that his nickname is Dr. Death? I object to his appointment as physician of the day.
Objection overruled. Today in Wyoming history, in 1899, U.S. Senator Francis E. Warren introduced a bill for the creation of an army post near, Senator Kinski, do you know where that might be near? Sheridan, Wyoming. Reading correction approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of January 12, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Bouchard, chairman.
Any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Reports from standing committees.
January 12, 2017. Mr. President, your committee number 2, to whom was referred Senate File 2, Legislative Appropriations, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon. Senator Burns, Chairman. January 12, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 3, to whom was referred Senate File 10, County Boards of Equalization, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Case, Ellis, Kinski, Peterson, and Wasserberger, Senator Peterson, Chairman.
Bill's on second reading. Senate File 5, second reading of the Senate file. Will the reading clerk please read the Senate file?
Senate File 5, Banking Revisions.
Senate File 5, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection? So ordered. Senate File 7, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 7, Bank Service Corporations.
Senate File 7, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection? So ordered. Senate File 13, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 13, Manufactured Alcoholic Beverages.
Senate File 13, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 26, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 26, Game and Fish Licenses, Confidentiality.
Senate File 26, Senator Office.
Prepared and distributed on this. Could you lay it back to the end?
Without objection, it's so laid back. Senate File 27, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 27, State Archives Amendments.
Senate File 27, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it's so ordered. Senate File 39, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 39, Military Department Composition.
Senate File 39, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the Senate file be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 40, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 40, Military Department Record Keeping.
Senate File 40, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Senate File 53, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 53, Veterans Hiring Preference.
We have a second reading amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in that second reading amendment? Let's read it in. Please, would the reading clerk please read that in?
Senate File 53, second reading amendment number 1. Page 3, line 4.
And the Senate will stand at ease for a second until that gets out to everybody. While we're waiting for that, Senator Rothfuss, what's the status of your amendment? Is it? I thought it was out already.
Mr. President, I don't have it yet.
Just a second.
Also, that you're a co-sponsor, I think, of that one or not. I don't remember which one you're on. So there are two that are coming, and it was my late fault, so my apologies to staff for getting that to them.
Apologies accepted. Okay, does everybody have the second reading amendment on Senate File 53? It's been read in. Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 53. And what this amendment does, if you notice at the very beginning of the bill on page 2, it's on line 7, it says have a preference prior to the interview process. So what this amendment does is go in the page 3, line 4, and deletes the appointment or initial employment. So what we were told yesterday was that this bill was supposed to get the veteran in for the initial interview and not so much for the actual give him a preference in hiring. So I wanted to make those two coincide if that was the intent of the bill. So we're striking the initial employment in two places, and that's what the amendment does. It just says that they get a preference for the initial interview, but not for the actual hiring. And I ask for your aye vote on this.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? Question being called for. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 53. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Further discussion on the bill. Senator Rothfuss.
Mr. President, there is a second amendment on Senate file 53, which I believe is being distributed. Do we have that one?
Okay, we're just going to stand at ease for a little bit till we get these amendments out. And I, you know, try to do your best, senators, to get these out and prepared so we don't have these delays. But we'll stand at ease till the sound of the gavel. Senator Burns.
Mr. President, just so the minority leader doesn't feel too bad, I've got an amendment coming, too, that is also late and also my fault.
Okay, we'll stand at ease till the sound of the gavel. No. Did we do what now?
Second.
I just put that one there.
No, they told me it's going to be out. By the time we do this, we'll be done. We'll be into it. You're retired.
Members of the Senate, while we're at ease, I would remind all of you that when you do whether it's a committee whole amendment or second reading or third reading amendment, that you let the sponsor of the bill know, whether it's an individual sponsor or a committee chairman, just out of courtesy, so they don't just read about it like we're doing right now. And so everybody has an opportunity to be prepared for it. Sometimes it might be your bill, and you just appreciate that common courtesy. So I'd ask all of you to do that. And while we're at ease, the majority floor leader reminded me of, and I will pass on because it's really important, your financial disclosure forms have to be in by the end of the month. Your financial disclosure forms have to be in by the end of the month, and they're filed with the Secretary of State, and it's a business form disclosure, where you make a living, what you're involved in, and it's in our ethics law and different parts of our statute, so be sure and do that. If you don't do it, then you're in violation of the law. We don't want to do that. Does everybody have all the amendments? Senate will come back to order. We're on Senate File 53, second reading amendment. Will the reading clerk please read the second reading amendment? We voted on the first one. My voice isn't carrying very well. We did vote on the First Amendment, and it did pass. And that was Senate Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 53. Second Reading Amendment Number 2 to Senate File 53. Will the reading clerk please read in that Second Reading Amendment?
Senate File 53, Second Reading Amendment Number 2, page 1, line 4.
Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. President. And again, my apologies for I had this drafted last night and didn't approve it until moments ago, and I apologize to the body for delaying the progress. But this amendment, Mr. President, reinserts the language about the requirement to have residency in Wyoming, that 1 year of residency requirement that was stripped out as part of the legislation. So if you look on page 2 of the bill, this amendment does is restore the language, most of the language on lines 15 through 19 that are stricken, so that a veteran, and then it does not restore or widow because of the definition change, a veteran who has not been a resident of the state of Wyoming for a period of 1 year or more immediately preceding date for appointment or employment is not entitled to preference under this section. It restores that and adds a period so that you would have to be a Wyoming resident for 1 year or have that residency prior to the application, which is consistent with how we've done it in the past, instead of opening it up to national applications. Mr. President, that's the amendment, but I will note as I look at the amendment a point that my good colleague who's chairman of the committee pointed out, in the amendment, page 1, line 4, after preference, insert for municipal or county employment, actually shouldn't go back in because it doesn't restore that preference. So he made a good catch already. And I would ask, Mr. President, that we divide this amendment where Division 1 would be lines 1 through 3. Division 2 would be lines 4 through 13. And I would ask the body to vote against Division 1 of the amendment because it's unnecessary language.
Yeah, that division is acceptable, and so we have division number 1 that we're voting on, and it's lines 1 through 3, division number 1, second reading amendment number 2. Any discussion? Question, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no? Wait a minute.
Oh, let's redo that one.
I'm going to recall a division we're voting on. Senator Rothfuss, we're voting on division number 1 of your amendment.
Vote no.
Lines 1 through 3. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no.
No.
That division has failed. Now we're on division number 2, which are lines 4 through 13. Further discussion. You ready for the question?
No.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
I'm confused on this. Does yes mean no, or I mean yes, and no mean yes, or which one was which, Mr. Britt?
Okay. Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, on and against the amendment, the second part of the amendment, it eliminates exactly what we were trying to do, is to bring in more qualified people into Wyoming for jobs in the state of Wyoming. So on and against the second part of the amendment, number 2.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. And, you know, in these situations here, I think we are exactly trying to do, as a good senator from Casper alluded, is that we're trying to make sure that veterans have the opportunity to be employed in our state, and that veterans have that initial preference in the hiring process as far as being able to get an interview. This isn't a bill that says you have points to get the job. This is a bill that says you have percentages to actually get the interview. And you've got to take it from there. And frankly, I can't imagine what our veterans have had to go through, because I've never been a veteran. I've never had to have to be in a live fire situation. I've never had to have my family sit at home wondering whether I was going to come back. And they do that for us. And that's a great and heavy burden that we ask them to accept. And this is something that we do for them, that when they come back, that we give them the opportunity to reintegrate into our society, from that of being a full-time defender of our rights and freedoms, and put themselves and their families in harm's way. So, Mr. President, on and against this amendment.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. President, on and for the amendment, and as a veteran, I agree with everything that they're saying. The only issue I have is I don't think it is unreasonable to have the one-year exclusion for out-of-state folks. I think we ought to give veterans those rights. But I also think that we ought to go one step further and give our Wyoming veterans first choice. That 1 year will do that. And so, I'm for all veterans, but I'm particularly for Wyoming veterans. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion, Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the amendment, I agree with my good friend with all that he said. And, you know, I went home last night and I thought about this. I don't think I've ever voted against a veteran bill. I think I speak for many of us in this room. I'm very proud of the fact that Wyoming is a state that honors its veterans. Mr. President, maybe more than any state in the union. And so I appreciate the spirit of this bill, but I cannot, this is an important provision, and I think this amendment is important because here's what we would do if we don't have this. We would have potentially an out-of-state veteran come into our state and apply for a job, and we would have to give preference to that person who might be from East Rutherford or Fort Lauderdale over the top of somebody who might be your neighbor, who has for many years paid the taxes in the state of Wyoming and supported the military here in our state. I think this is an important amendment, and on and for it. Thank you.
Representative Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment, I think it's important to think about some of our, you know, brothers and sisters that have served in the military, and maybe that required some time in Virginia, and then they serve overseas. And, you know, I think of one dear friend who wanted to come home to Casper, and he was a vet. And I think that we just need to not think about just those people who have never set foot in Wyoming, but our Wyoming kids that have gone out, served our country, and want to come home. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion before we allow the sponsor of the amendment a second time. Mr. Senator Juan Slater.
I would like to remind the body that you don't lose your residency or citizenship because you are serving in the military. So you're already a Wyoming resident. You remain a Wyoming resident the whole time you're serving, so you could serve outside of the state, and you'd still fall under this, be incorporated in this amendment by being a resident for that 1 year.
Senator Boner.
Thank you, Mr. President. And just to, I guess, further refine the discussion of the previous two speakers, it's up to the service member. They can retain their original state of residence. They can choose to become a resident of the state in which they are serving, having served that military installation just across the interstate. Plenty of my friends were from other states and decided to become Wyoming residents. For many reasons. So it's up to the individual service member. So it is possible that somebody could be from Wyoming, move to Virginia, and choose to become a Virginia resident and then want to move back. So it's that's a more nuanced, I guess, perspective there.
Further discussion, Senator Meyer, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess I look at it, and there's something, let's say we've got FEE Warren folks that come in here and they're from Virginia or they're from Fort Lauderdale or from wherever, and so they've got their time spent in Wyoming, but necessarily when they come here, until they say they're a Wyoming resident, they may have lived here 6 years. They may have paid the taxes, and now we're disadvantaging those folks from the process. But, you know, realize that there's only two states in the union that don't have hiring preference, and Wyoming is going to be the third state because we're not going to the hiring preference in this bill. We're going to the interview process. And so we're going to join Rhode Island and New Hampshire that actually we don't have a hiring preference in this bill or in this state after we pass this. We've went down because of this body's concern about not having an equal playing field when you're trying to get a job. We went to the interview process. That's a huge step. And now you want to diminish the rights of veterans even more. We've diminished the rights of veterans as far as what the current law is in this bill, because it was hiring, and now it's the interview process. So that's a big step. And I think, Mr. President, I think that's a step where we still honor the veteran, because they get an opportunity to sit in front of the boss and make their case. And that's all we're giving them. We're not giving them a hiring preference. And, Mr. President, I just think it's the right thing to do. And I understand that you want to give the Wyoming folks a leg up too. And they've got the same leg. They're on equal footing as any other veteran in this situation, Mr. President. So I think it's reasonable to leave the proposed statute exactly the way it is.
Senator Hastert.
Dear President, Mr. President, I just felt compelled to, one of the things that I want to just, I would respectfully disagree with my colleague from Casper in the point that if a veteran from another state were to come in and have an interview preference and we have an in-state veteran, they're on equal footing. Then from there, that it's, I'm sure, the merits of their resume that will carry them forward. I've been sitting here thinking about this bill for quite a bit, for quite a while now, and also putting it in the context of a couple veterans that I have that are right now residing in Utah and could possibly be looking at coming back to Wyoming. So it's just, I think the fact that, you know, that they would be on an equal footing, whether they're in-state or out-of-state, but then the merits of their resumes with what would carry them forward.
Further discussion before the sponsor speaks for a second time? Anybody else? Senator Rothfuss, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. On for Division 2 of the amendment, the amendment is certainly not intended, and I don't believe would, make it more difficult for our current veterans that are serving abroad. If Wyoming is listed as their home state, they're going to receive the preference. Folks at F.E. Warren who choose Wyoming as their new home and listed as their residency are also going to receive such a preference. These are the people that we want to make sure we're protecting, and that is my concern. My concern is that we have a system that provides those individuals with the opportunity. Now, if I'm an employer and I'm going to hire an individual and I put out a call for resumes to decide who I'm going to interview, having a process that recognizes that I'm going to provide some preference to that individual who is born in Casper, raised in Casper, joins the military, serves overseas, is getting out pretty soon and wants to apply for that job, that's a benefit. That's what we're looking for. But if I've got 40 other applicants from all over the country that have never set foot in Wyoming, but they look and see, hey, that's a good job with benefits, I'd like that job. And we end up shutting out that Casper individual who would then be eligible. That's not what we're looking for here. I understand the sentiment, and I support the sentiment, and we do want to support all veterans. But at the same time, when you just consider the numbers, it becomes daunting to assume that we would be protecting and preserving the interests of our Wyoming veterans instead of just washing them out in the crowd. And, Mr. President, one other thing, I still haven't heard if other states do this, if other states have abandoned this 1 year, and I can't imagine they have. This is what we had in statute. This is not new policy. This is returning to our existing policy. If we need to tighten that existing policy down, we can within this bill to make sure that we protect those Wyoming citizens that are currently in the armed forces abroad. I'm certainly amenable to anything that clarifies that further, Mr. President. But I think this is the right approach, and I appreciate support of the body on this Division 2 of the amendment.
Okay, members of the Senate, we're voting on Division 2. Roll call, Mr. Chairman. Roll call has been requested. We'll call for the ayes and nays. We're voting on Senate reading, second reading amendment number 2, division 2, which is lines 4 through 13 on Senate file 53. Roll call vote's been called. Please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Anderson?
Nay.
Nay. Anselmi? Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Co-excuse? Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
No.
No. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 14 aye, 15 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, division number 2 to second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 53, lines 4 through 13 has failed. We're on second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 53. Senator Burns. Just a second. Let's read that in.
Senate File 53, second reading amendment number 3, page 4, line 12.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 53 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, in reading this bill, we want to make sure that the right people are getting the preference. And what this amendment does is it goes to page 4 on line 12, where this preference is extended to the widow, or I'm sorry, to the surviving spouse. So it could be a widower, too, a widow or widower of the veteran who would have gotten the benefit. And what this says is that they only get the benefit if they were married to the veteran at the time of their service. So in other words, they shared the burden of not having that veteran with them, and they shared the burden of the same burdens that the veteran did when the veteran came home and so forth. What I'm trying to avoid here is somebody who married late in life and then the veteran passes away, that the surviving spouse should necessarily get a benefit and an advantage over others that they frankly didn't deserve and didn't do anything to deserve. And with that, I would ask for favorable consideration.
Further discussion? Question being called for. We're voting on second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 53. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading or second reading amendment number 3 on Senate File 53 has passed. There being no other amendments, Senate File 53 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the Senate File be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 26, second reading amendment of the Senate File.
Senate File 26, Game and Fish Licenses, Confidentiality.
We have an amendment. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this goes back to the discussion that we had on Committee of the Whole and flips that burden of release to opt out rather than opt in for confidentiality. And now I'm going to confuse Senator Perkins by perhaps phrasing that backwards. But it's presumed confidential unless the sportsman opts in to release after this amendment. Whereas, as it's originally written, remember, you have to opt out of that release of information. So it errs on the side of the privacy of the sportsman rather than erring on the side of the release. Mr. President, that's the amendment. I urge the body for favorable consideration.
Discussion? Question being called for. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I do wonder about one aspect of this. It seems to me, I think the Game and Fish is at least in part selling some of these lists to people who have a commercial interest in contacting
these people. I think it particularly pertains to out-of-state applicants who may need guiding services. And I don't know that they're doing this. I'm wondering if anybody does know and if this amendment has significant financial implications for the revenue to the Game and Fish, because I think it will cut down the number of people that are on the list that is available considerably.
Senator Boehner.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just for the edification of the body, I did have a chance to talk to the director of the department last night, and he was completely in support of this particular amendment. And I'm assuming to answer the question of my colleague from Toronto County specifically. I guess I have a hard time imagining somebody paying for this information when it is currently a public record, and all they have to do is make the request. So even though I don't know the direct answer to that particular question, my inclination would be that they would not receive any revenue. Otherwise, that'd be quite the scheme there. When all the commercial interest has to do is to request the information.
Senator Hicks.
My recollection served me correctly. At one time, the department did sell information, but none of the information that they used to sell would currently be captured on this, and I'm assuming they do the same practice as they did. So normally, you could go into an office, and if you asked for a printout of the number of hunters that drew area X for antelope, you could pay for that list, but all it does is give you the hunter's name and his physical address. None of that information here is covered, so the department would still be able to do that if that's the current policy. So I think to answer the senator's question, this would still allow them to do that.
Further discussion? Question being called for? Ready? We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 26. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That second reading amendment has passed. Senate File, second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 26. Senate File 26 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, I do have a consent list. If you turn the mic on, I'll tell you what it is.
I'll be glad to do that, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you. Mr. President, we do have a consent list. I move third reading consent list, which is as follows. Senate File 3, Select Water Committee Review of Projects. Senate File 8, Transfer of Water Funds. Senate File 30, Jail Placement Coordination, and Senate File 31, Genetic Information Privacy.
Would anyone like any of the bills on the consent list removed? Senator Anselmi Dalton.
Mr. President and Senators, I would like to remove Senate File 30, Jail Placement Coordination from the consent list, as there was a question from Senator Barnard.
Okay, that's been removed from the consent list. Anybody else have any other bills, Senate files they want off the list? Okay, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 3, Select Water Committee Review of Projects. Senate File 8, Transfer of Water Funds. And Senate File 31, Genetic Information Privacy. The Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
On the consent list, Agar?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boehner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen? Co-excused Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Ellis?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
Wasterberger?
Aye.
President Bebout?
Aye.
On the consent list, 29 aye, 1 excused. Senate File 3, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 3, 29 aye, 1 excused. Senate File 8, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 8, 29 aye, 1 excused. Senate File 31, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 31, 29 aye, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 3, Select Water Committee Review of Projects, Senate File 8, Transfer Water Funds, and Senate File 31, Genetic Information Privacy have passed the Senate. Senate File 30, Senator Anselmi Dalton.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, to answer the question of my esteemed colleague, they didn't want to draft the whole contract into the file, so we assume that the county attorney will draft in provisions saying it's a common practice where if there's medical cost that would be covered in the contract by the county attorneys, and we're going to let them handle their job.
Senator Perkins.
Since this bill is open, Mr. President, I do have a question and about this bill, and on page 3, lines 5 through 7, we have that there's a statement here that the sheriff determines that the prisoner is a safety or security risk to the jail staff or other prisoners. And I'm just wondering, ultimately I think that's inherent in the process, but my question for the committee or who sponsored the bill is, does that impose a determination or impose a requirement on the sheriff that will become actionable? It probably already is actionable, but does this just interesting if anybody has any thoughts about whether or not this makes that more likely that a sheriff would be sued if a prisoner who's brought in ends up causing a problem, injuring themselves or injuring someone else, if this creates potentially liability for that sheriff. Just if somebody knows the answer to that, I think that potentially it does, but I'd like to hear if the committee had any discussions in that regard.
Senator Christensen.
President, in regards to that question, no, that was not part of our discussion. It is the intent of that is to clearly allow the sheriff to remove prisoners at any time based on their actions. One of the things that happens nowadays is when a prisoner is brought into a jail, there's a risk assessment, and they go through it and they figure out where they rate on the risk assessment, and that determines where they're placed in the jail setting with their other prisoners. And this just clearly defines that there is opportunity there, and there's no doubt that at any point, should that placement rating change, the sheriff has the authority to immediately move them out. As to your question, I suppose you could look at it that way.
The reality is, I believe anytime something happens, a sheriff is vulnerable. He takes that on.
Any other discussion? You ready for the question? Senate File 30, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Will the chief clerk please call the roll?
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Doughton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Co-excuse Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebap?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Christensen, aye. I apologize. Christensen, aye.
There was a reason you were skipped, Senator Christensen. We'll talk about that later.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 29 aye, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 30 has passed the Senate. Senate File 33, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall Senate File 33 pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
We have an amendment.
Do we have an amendment? Okay. Hand me the bill with the amendment. Okay. We do have an amendment. Third reading amendment number one, Senator Nethercott.
Senators, I bring this amendment before you today. This bill originally came before me on Judiciary Committee on my very first day.
Let us read the amendment in.
Sure.
Yeah, let's read the amendment in.
Senate File 33, Third Reading Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 15.
Senator Nethercott, now you can stand up and move the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Amendment number 3 to Senate File 33.
Third reading amendment number 1.
Correct.
Thank you. Good answer.
Thank you.
Now you can get after it.
Right. Thank you, fellow senators. This amendment comes before you today. As mentioned, this bill came before me on my first Judiciary Committee meeting. I had some questions because it deals with, as we discussed earlier, the jurisdiction of the Division of Criminal Investigation and their responsibilities to investigate computer crimes, specifically relating to this bill, computer extortion. So I took the liberty upon myself to reach out to the computer crime team leaders from the Division of Criminal Investigation to review the bill and received their feedback concerning it. And that's where these amendments come into play. And I would like to acknowledge for the fellow senators here, I have today with me the leader of that computer crime team who was tasked with enforcing those important laws of our state and keeping us safe of the computer crime team. Thank you. With that, I would move that the amendments be passed.
Okay. Further discussion on third reading amendment number 1. Are you ready for the question? Senator Rothfuss.
Mr. President, I think this amendment is very consistent with the discussion we had, and I think these are positive changes relative to what we heard in the Digital Information Privacy Task Force, so I would support adoption of the amendment.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? Okay, we're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 33. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Senate File 33, having read three separate times, the question is, shall that Senate file pass? Will the Chief Clerk please read the roll? Call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Doughton? Aye, Baldwin.
Aye.
Aye, Barnard.
Aye.
Aye, Boner.
Aye.
Aye, Bouchard.
Aye.
Aye, Burns.
Aye.
Aye, Case.
Aye.
Aye, Christensen.
Aye.
Aye. Cole, excused. Dockstetter.
Aye.
Aye, Driscoll.
Aye.
Aye, Ellis.
Aye.
Aye, Emmerich.
Aye.
Aye, Hastert.
Aye.
Aye, Hicks.
Aye.
Aye, Kinski.
Aye.
Aye, Landon.
Aye.
Aye, Meyer.
Aye,
aye Moniz.
Aye.
Aye, Nethercott.
Aye,
aye Pappas.
Aye.
Aye, Perkins.
Aye,
aye Peterson.
Aye,
aye Rothfuss.
Aye.
Aye, Scott.
Aye,
aye Von Platern.
Aye,
aye Wasserberger.
Aye.
Aye, President Bebau.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 29 aye, 1 excused.
Senate file 33, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate file 33 has passed the Senate. Consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business. Do you have a motion?
Yes, I do, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried. Senator Emmerich. Dr. Emmerich.
Doctor. Senator Death.
Here you go. That's for you. I'll get all my stuff out of your way, Fred.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. Mr. Chairman, may I have privilege of the floor? Yes, Senator Emmerich, you may. Fellow senators in the back, I'd like to introduce my wife who is coming here to kibitz and tell me what I've done right and wrong, probably more of the latter. Karen, please stand. Committee of the Whole, please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate file number 9. Will the reading clerk please read the bill?
Senate file 9, certification of cases to State Board of Equalization, sponsored by the Revenue Committee, was referred to committee number 3, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Case, Ellis, Kinski, Peterson, and Wasserberger, Senator Peterson, Chairman.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a do pass on Senate File 9, there are no standing committee amendments, and for further explanation of this good Senate file, I would refer to the good Senator from Sheridan, Senator Kinski.
Senator Kinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This file, Senate File 9, is a product of the Joint Revenue Interim Committee, and it's something of a cleanup bill. What it pertains to is tax assessment appeals to the County Board of Equalization. If you're dissatisfied, you can then appeal to the State Board of Equalization. If you remain unhappy, you can then appeal to District Court. Every now and then, there comes along a case that or it is desirable for it to go directly to the State Board of Equalization, bypassing the County Board. And those two situations are these. One, where there's a significant conflict of interest with one of the members of the County Board of Equalization, one of the commissioners. Two is where the case is so large or significant or contentious that you know it is going to go to the Board of Equalization in Cheyenne and eventually to District Court. So the practice has been historically that the State Board of Equalization has adopted rules that allow for them to accept cases directly from the local Board of Equalization without need for adjudication at the local level. And that happens about once a year. It's not anything the state board can force upon the local boards of equalization, but only if both agree that the county would like to see it go directly to Cheyenne and that Cheyenne would like to accept that case. The problem is the board has found that the legal authority for the historic practice and the current regulation is somewhat questionable. They don't want to be subject to attack on what is a process that actually saves aggrieved taxpayers a lot of money and a lot of time. So the purpose of this bill is fairly simple. It amends the powers and duties of the State Board of Equalization to accept such cases directly from the County Board of Equalization without need for the County Board to first conduct a hearing. And likewise, it amends the duties and authority of the County Board of Equalization, which is the county commissioners of each county, to certify a case or request the case be certified directly to the State Board of Equalization. So with that, if we turn our attention to the bill, Senate File 9, on the first change is on page 2, which is an addition to 3911.102.1, the administration powers of the State Board of Equalization. And you will see underlined in lines 6 through 9 language that says, authorizes the county board of, upon request of a county board of equalization, the state board may accept a case certified directly to the State Board of Equalization pursuant to rules promulgated by the state board. Likewise, going down a bit further is in the mid-page at line 15, we see a different section of statute affected, 39-13-102, administration, and this is administration of the County Board of Equalization. Turning our attention to page 3, lines 7 through 9, there's an addition to that, the ability or powers of the County Board of Equalization, which states quite simply, the County Board of Equalization may request that the case be certified directly to the State Board of Equalization as provided in the above-mentioned, above-referenced section. So it's a fairly straightforward bill, and I would urge favorable consideration. I stand for questions.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. I have three questions that come to mind initially as I reviewed this bill. The first question is, not knowing the rules of the Board of Equalization, the first question I have is this create an opportunity for a county board to simply defer or avoid having to make an unpopular decision that they really, it's not a particularly difficult question, but just one that might be particularly unpopular in their county, and so for political reasons, they just want to kick the can up to the Board of Equalization. Is there any protection in the rules that allow that to simply not occur? Which I think very closely to that is, does the Board of Equalization under its rules or even under the statute, they have the right to basically deny the direct certification? So they can just rule that it's inappropriate or it's not, or they don't want to hear that case until it is an appeal. Do they have that authority under their rules? And the third question is also under the rules, kind of a similar situation. If a Board of Equalization, local Board of Equalization, which is the county commissioners, knows that regardless of the outcome or the decision of the Board of County Commissioners, that either party will appeal, you know, do they punt it up then so that they just avoid and get to that situation? To where they just have the Board of Equalization make that. So I'm just wondering how this works and how I foresee this. I see some opportunity for mischief by local boards of county commissioners. I know as a former county commissioner, there were times that it was a little bit awkward to make some of those decisions, and some of the decisions we made really upset some people. But, you know, that's kind of the job you sign up for. So I'm just wondering if there's some ways to control that mischief that are already in place.
Senator Kinski.
Mr. Chairman, my colleague from the Windy City to the north asked some good questions. The third one I'm a bit unclear on. I wonder if he might clarify that third one for me, and then I'll be happy to address all three of them in order. I wasn't understanding the third question quite.
Senator Perkins, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you. Yeah, sometimes the guy from the Windy City gets windy. There come times you have a case where, regardless of how the county commission decides the tax appeal, that the county's going to appeal, or you know that the party is going to appeal the decision if it's not in their favor. And so sometimes, I've seen this with some other county commissions, that ultimately when they know it's going to go to the Board of Equalization anyway, they just would rather punt and have it go immediately to the Board of Equalization since it's going to end up there anyway. Some people may think that's good. Some people may think that that's not quite so good. But I'm just wondering if there's already things in effect that so the Board of Equalization can either determine and access just a subset of one of the other questions.
Senator Kinski, Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, and while my good colleague is going to get up and prognosticate on what the likelihood of that last question is, I would like to also throw out the concept is do they have the ability to do that already? Is just kick that down the road to the State Board of Equalization.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The testimony in the committee was that they do this already, but that it's not permitted in the law, and that it's been, even though they've been doing it for years, their attorney had advised them that they probably needed a more specific statute reference to do that, hence this bill.
Senator Kinski.
Mr. Chairman, may I just note parenthetically before I get to the merits of the discussion, my colleague from Bags stood and you recognized him as me. I bear no ill will towards the chair for that error.
Blame my optometrist, Senator.
The first question from my colleague from the Windy City to the north was, does this create an opportunity for a board to avoid unpopular but easy decisions? May I rise in defense of the political courage and fortitude of the county commissioners in the great state of Wyoming? It's hard to imagine a situation where a county commission would sidestep an easy but politically unpopular decision, but my colleague is correct. It does create that opportunity. It does create that opportunity. That is one of the potential side effects of the law. I would note, however, that it also requires the assent of the State Board of Equalization. So the State Board could easily tell the local board that the cup shall not pass. You have the hot potato. And so there's two metaphors in one sentence. I'll try to do better and get it up to three or four before the end of the session. Number two, does the Board of Equalization have the right to deny district direct certification? And so I would say yes, and I would point to page 2, line 7, where it says the Board of Equalization may, so it is permissive rather than prescriptive, the may implying or clearly makes clear that they have the authority to deny direct certification. Question 3 from my colleague was concerned cases where, regardless of what the local board decides, we know one or the other is going to appeal, and that is, in fact, what the purpose of this bill is to achieve, is in situations where that's true, the Board of Equalization has rules in place that would permit direct certification, thereby relieving the taxpayer of the expense of first going to the County Board of Equalization. their legal authority to allow that direct certification, however, is questionable, and the purpose of this bill gets right to the, issue that my good colleague raises. And then I believe my colleague from Bags's question was answered by my colleague from Lander. That is, do they have the ability to do it already? They do, but it's not clear in law, and this remedies that deficiency. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are we colleagued out? Question has been called for. All those in favor of Senator Perkins' motion to adopt, when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, please say aye.
Aye.
Yes, Mr. President. Mr. President, could you possibly use different terminology? Yes, your point of order, sir.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I believe that we're voting on Senate File 9 not having a rising committee report, so the question
that's
before
you
is, shall we vote on
you aren't correct. Senator Peterson.
Mr. Chairman, point of order as well. I think you said Senator Perkins, and it's the Committee of Revenues, Senator Peterson. We often get confused. We're both very handsome and debonair, but it's Senator Peterson.
I don't know if I would even need to answer any of this. Question has been called for. All those in favor of Senate File number 9, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate File number 9 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next file for our consideration is Senate File number 43. Would the reading clerk please read the file?
Senate File 43, Alcoholic Beverages Revisions, an act relating to alcoholic beverages, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, was referred to Committee Number 7, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Agar, Nethercott, Pappas, and Scott. Senator Case, conflict. Senator Case, chairman.
Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate File 43, Alcohol Beverages Revisions. Mr. Chairman, there is a standing committee amendment. I'd ask that it be read in at this time.
Will the reading clerk please read the amendment? Has this amendment been passed out?
Yes, we have it, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you.
Senate File 43, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 1.
Mr. Chairman, I would move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 43, and for an explanation of the bill and the amendment, I would ask that the chair yield to Senator Agar.
Senator Agar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I start by asking that we wait to dispose of the amendments till the end of the bill, as they bring substantive changes to it, and you'll see the prevalency as we walk through it. And excuse me, I said bill, I meant file. First of all, Senate File 43 deals with the repealing of requirements of license and permit fees be paid by cash or certified check. It repeals the restrictions on license and permit holding by public servants, modifies the requirements for special malt beverage permits for public events or at auditoriums, modifies minimum purchase requirements for permits and license holders, clarifies application of population formula for licenses. If we look at page 2, lines 14 through 23, this is where the first part of the substantive amendment will be clear. It was the feeling of the committee that these issues addressed in this section here should be handled in private contract agreements. We'll move on to page 3, where we see a simple verbiage change from provided in to set pursuant to. You will see that continually through the file, so I will not refer to that again. At the bottom of page 4, lines 18 through 20, the stricken language simply allows for a broader avenue of payment so that we can do credit card or check payments. If we move on to page 5, at the top of the page, lines 3 through 8, we see that this eliminates the $500 purchase amount for license holders. The discussion on this was simply that's a very small amount today, and there are members of this body who purchase more than $500 of alcohol in a said year. If we move on down the page, applicants shall submit a valid food service permit on application. The stricken language after that simply says that as they apply for a restaurant license, they'll have to prove that they are an actual restaurant. Moving through the bill, through the file, excuse me. On line 14, page 9, there's some stricken language that simply gives the issuing body the power to provide rules to implement. Now, as we look at lines 17 through 22 at the bottom of that page, that is the second substantive amendment on the file. It was a testimony from local organizations that they would like some statewide consistency on operating hours, and so they asked us to address that as we did in our amendment. As we move on through to page 11, we see the definition of good cause with some exception language underneath. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I will stand for questions. If there are none, I would ask that we move the amendments. Dispose of the amendments. Excuse me.
You're moving the amendment. Thank you. Any discussion on the amendment? Any discussion? Question has been called for. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion to adopt the Standing Committee amendment of the Hull plea to Senate File 43, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? We are back on the bill. Yes, Senator. That amendment to Senate File, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 43 has passed. We are now back on the bill. Question has been called for. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the committee of the whole rise to report that it do so with favorable recommendation of Senate File 43, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate File 43 has passed the committee of the whole. Mr. Majority Floor, dear.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I beg leave that the committee of the I move that the committee of the whole beg leave to rise and sit again momentarily.
You've heard the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Passed.
Reports from standing committees.
January. January 13, 2017. Mr. President, your committee number 12, to whom was referred Senate File 29, Legislative Employees, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Bebout, Hastert, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Van Flatern. Senator Bebout, Chairman. January 13, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 1, to whom was referred Senate File 59, Government Ethics, Clerks of the District Courts, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, Kinski, and Nethercott. Senator Christensen, Chairman. January 13, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 1, to whom was referred Senate File 81, Circuit Court Judge Salaries, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, and Nethercott. No, Senator Kinski. Senator Christensen, Chairman.
Senator Christian, do you have a motion?
Mr. President, I'd ask that Senate File 81 be referred to the Appropriations...
Re-referred.
Re-referred to Appropriations as there is a expenditure.
Without objection, so noted. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate resolve itself back in the Committee of the Whole for consideration of one more bill.
All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Senator Emmerich.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 59. Will the reading clerk read the file?
Senate File 59, Government Ethics, Clerks of the District Courts, an Act Relating to Government Ethics, sponsored by Senator Driscoll, was referred to Committee Number 1, which respectfully submitted a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, Kinski, and Nethercott. Senator Christensen, Chairman.
You heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure? Senator Christensen.
Put it away. 1 minute here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, when Committee of the Whole rises to report, I ask that they do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 59 and present Senate File 59 will be Senator Driscoll.
Senator Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First off, I'd like to thank the President that this didn't have to go to the journal first. This is a pretty simple bill. It was actually brought to me by the clerk of district courts, and a few years ago they passed ethics statutes for all of the county officials, and by some oddball means the clerk of district courts got dropped out of the statute. So if you take a quick look through this on page 1, it just basically explains who all it was, which is all of the county officials. And the meat of the bill is a single line on page 2. And we've inserted clerk of the district court to make them where they fall under ethics laws just like everyone else does. Kind of novel for them to ask for them to be put into it, but they did. And with that, I'd stand for questions and ask your favorable consideration.
Question has been called for. All those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion when the committee of the whole rise to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 59, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate File 59 has passed the committee of the whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the committee of the whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Mr. President.
Thank you. Good job. Good job.
Will the reading clerk please read the Committee of the Whole report?
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under considerations bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. Senate File 9, do pass. Senate File 43, do pass amended. Senate File 59, do pass. Senator Emmerich, Chairman.
Senator Emmerich.
Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
For the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That Committee of the Whole report has been adopted. Introduction of bills or Senate files. Senate File 82, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 82, Graduation Requirement, CPR, an act relating to education, sponsored by Senator Landon.
Senate File 82 will be referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Senate File 83, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 83, State Spending and Revenues, Public Reports, an act relating to administration of government, sponsored by Senator Bouchard.
Senate File 83 will be referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Senate File 84, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 84, Stalking Penalties, an act relating to crimes and offenses, sponsored by Senator Landon.
Senate File 84 will be referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 85, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 85, Court Automation Fee, an act relating to court fees, sponsored by Senator Perkins.
Senate File 85 will be referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 86, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 86, Game and Fish Permits, an act relating to game and fish, sponsored by Senator Emmerich.
Senate File 86 will be referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. Senate File 87, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 87, Countermand Amendment Provisions, an act relating to an Article V Convention for the Countermand Amendment, sponsored by Senator Peterson.
Senate File 87 will be referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. Senate Joint Resolution 5, first reading of the Senate Joint Resolution.
Senate Joint Resolution 5, Countermand Amendment, a joint resolution making an application to the United States Congress to call an Article 5 convention of the several states for the purpose of proposing the state legislature's pre-approved single-issue countermand amendment to the United States Constitution, sponsored by Senator Peterson.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 5 will be referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. Okay, a clarification for the members of the Senate. Senate File 72, I believe the language used was a re-referral, and it's a referral. And so instead of going to Committee Number 5, Agriculture, it's going to go to Committee Number 2, Appropriation. Just a clarification for members of the Senate. Hold on. We have messages from the House. Standing Committee reports.
January 13, 2017, Mr. President, your Committee Number 10, to whom was referred Senate File 63, Department of Family Services Statutory Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Baldwin, Boner, Bouchard, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman. January 13, 2017, Mr. President, your Committee Number 10, to whom was referred Senate File 66, Title 25 Payment Obligations, Federal Entities, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Baldwin, Boner, Bouchard, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I believe that clears the desk.
That's bad news indeed, Mr. President. Mr. President, with that, I move that we stand in recess. This says 2 p.m., but I don't think that's what we want to do. I think we want to stand
You're the boss, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. You might have nobody here, but you could say that.
I don't know, but apparently our chief clerk really wants to work hard. So.
And the motion should be to, if you're wanting us to leave, should be to adjourn.
Yeah, I've got the wrong script here. But with that, I'm going to change that motion. I withdraw my prior motion. And with that, Mr. President, I move that we stand adjourned until 10 p.m. Monday.
About 10 a.m.
10 a.m. Thanks for that correction. You know, I can't even read off the script. I just put this away. I move that we stand adjourned until 10 a.m. on Monday, which is, what day is that? January the?
16th.
Thank you.
Announcements. Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 9, Minerals and Economic Development, will meet in about, let's call it 10 till 12, in about 20 minutes in Jonah Room S18 to consider Senate Joint Resolution 2, Federal Land, Wind, and Solar Energy Revenue State Share, Senate File 68, Net Metering Generation Capacity, Senate File 6, Radioactive Waste Storage Facilities, and one. I'd like to add to that we're going to swap Senate Joint Resolution 2 will be the second one up. Senate File 68, Net Metering, will be the first one up.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet at 8 a.m. Monday morning in normal committee room. First bill for our consideration, telepharmacy amendments, Senate File 62. We'll complete our work on that. Second, we will deal with Senate File 69, small employer health reinsurance program amendments. And third, we will deal with Senate File 67, CHIP program amendments.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your joint committee, your number, committee number 2, joint appropriations, will meet at 12 today to continue agency hearings. In addition, on Monday morning, we will meet in Jonah Room 55 at 8:30 rather than 8. Continue agency hearings to get the January Craig report, review the school foundation program, and start callbacks. And then at the noon recess, we'll continue agency hearings and with Department of Corrections. And then upon adjournment Monday, we will have callbacks as necessary.
Senator Emmert.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 6, Travel and Recreation, will meet Tuesday, January 17th at 8 a.m., Jonah Room S27, to consider Senate File 60, Antelope Hunt's Complementary Licenses, Senate File 24, Film Industry Financial Incentive Program, The Resurgence of Fifi.
Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, we'll have an informational meeting on Monday, January 16th at 1 o'clock p.m. in Jonah Room L54 to hear from the Attorney General's Office regarding school funding information, and I'd encourage all legislators to attend.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 8, Transportation, will meet Monday, January 16th upon adjournment in Jonah Room S27 to consider the following files. Senate File 54, Military Spouse Hiring Preference. Senate File 55, Anti-Discrimination Military Spouses.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple of items. First of all, just really appreciate the work everybody's done. It's been a little bit, you know, we're knocking the rust off, as one senator said, moving forward. It's been a good week. We're knocking off early. We've got to give committees the opportunity to catch up and get some bills out so we can have them on general file and with some notice and opportunity to read them and know about them before we debate them. Just the opposite of we have to pass it to find out what's in it. So we don't want to be there. We want to be the other way around. We want to know what it is before we pass it or kill it. Second of all, this weekend... for our committee chairman, appreciate your work. Committee members, appreciate keep working. We've got to keep these bills moving along. Last thing is that looks like a pretty good weekend for weather, at least around here. Potentially some snow moving in here on Sunday evening. Please keep your eye on the weather if you're traveling. We want you to travel carefully, staff, members of the Senate.
Please travel carefully if you're traveling. We want to see you back here safely on Monday morning. And with that, Mr. President, thank you.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize. I missed this committee report. Your education number four committee will be meeting Monday, January 16th at 8 p.m. in room S19 to consider bills Senate File 37, Education Hathaway Scholarship Program 2, Senate File 73, High School Graduation Requirements, and also two bills that were laid back from today, Senate File 36, Education Leader Evaluation Support, and Senate File 34, Student Personal Digital Information Protection Act. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, your Judiciary Number 1 will meet at 8 a.m. on Monday morning, and we don't have our agenda finalized, but we will have that posted shortly. But just to let the committee members know, we will go forward with our meeting at 8 a.m. on Monday morning.
Yeah, I believe you have to have that in by 3 o'clock today, so
yes, sir.
Good. Get that done. Senator Case, did you wish to?
No, sir.
I saw you standing up. Okay, members of the Senate, I really appreciate your hard work. I would echo what the majority floor leader said. We're off to a good start, and we got a lot of work ahead of us. You all know about that, but good job. And all the newly elected members of the Senate, I think there's seven of you, just as soon as we adjourn, please come to my office. With that, anything else? We're adjourned till 10 a.m. Monday, the 16th of January.